Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, December 29th, 2021. 19 minutes past the hour, only 3 days left in 2021. Here comes 2022. How about that? Do want to remind everybody that I'll be on the air this morning until 10 a.m., and then we'll have Glenn Coble join us. I'll be on with Glenn this morning. We'll find out how his trip to North Carolina was for Christmas, dropping off his wife from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Then we'll have A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble with Dr. Ron Feynman from 12:15 until 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman from 4:10 until 5 p.m. today. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. What a day here on WWGH Radio. Now, yesterday we came back on the air after the Christmas break, and we had two great guests, Mary Ellen Withrow and Mayor Schutzer. So I didn't get a chance to really talk with you guys, the audience, which is what I like to do a lot of times. Really haven't had a chance to catch up with you since Christmas, so hopefully this morning we'll be able to do that, because really I've booked no guests on the program this morning. Hope everybody had a good Christmas. Hope everybody had a nice, safe Christmas. That's the big talk right now, was it a safe Christmas for everybody? Now, there are two things I'd like to mention before we get into the program this morning. Number one, there are two things I think this station might win awards for right now. Number one, the longest weather reports on history in radio. Now, normally, I've worked at a lot of stations. I think three or four stations now. And I've been here for about, coming up on 8 years. But most of the stations that I have been at, the weather report usually runs about a minute, if you're lucky. Sometimes usually it runs between 30 and 45 seconds. Sometimes it'll get up to a minute. But, boy, we've got long and detailed weather reports here at this particular station. And also, I think we might have the most outdated sports report. Now, we just started doing these sports reports, I think, 2 weeks ago. And for some reason, I think our sports report, the same one, has been running since Christmas Eve. Now, I don't know if Adam has just not gotten the new sports report, because he's been putting them in the last few times, or if Mike has not recorded a new sports report. I don't know. And maybe no sports is going on at this point. I find that hard to believe, though. It is basketball season, I think, for high school. So I just wanted to bring those two things up this morning. Our long weather reports and our kind of outdated sports report at this point. But I do want to make mention that our sports report is very detailed, much like our weather report. What a great sports report it is. It goes through all the local things going on in our community. Then it does some state things, and then it does some national things. I think that's what you want in a sports report. You know, radio is funny. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to bring this up in a second. But radio, for a long time, was thought to be very localized. That the sports you reported, the weather you reported, the news you reported, the guests you had, really all had to be in the community that you live in. But the world has gotten so much smaller. There are so many things going on outside of Marion that people want to know about. Now, of course, you want to report on the things going on in Marion because that's where the station's based. You want to report on the local sports and the local weather and the local news, but people also want to know what's going on nationally. They want to know what's going on in the state. So I think radio has changed in that way a little bit. And I think last week when we celebrated the 81st anniversary of radio in Marion, I think those people understood that as well. I think the people who started radio in Marion got the idea that, of course, you have to report on the local stuff because nobody else is reporting it, but you can go beyond that. You can talk about other things. People understand it. People get it. And certainly with cable television, internet, certainly, people get it even more. So I think that's kind of nice that we report on all three levels. Now, let's see here. What else is on my agenda here this morning? Well, I did want to talk a little bit about the Geraldo Journal because we did this for 100 days. And if you did not tune in on Friday, Geraldo appeared on the show. Friday at 12 noon, it was one of the best kept secrets, I think, in radio, that Geraldo Rivera was going to appear on this show on Friday. Now, here are two things I want to talk about in regard to that. Now, number one, it was not set up. There was never a setup to do it on any special day. The fact that it fell on the 100th day of the Geraldo Journal, which it was exactly the 100th day. We started that journal on September the 16th and wrapped it up on December the 24th. That is exactly 100 days. That was not a plan. A matter of fact, I didn't even realize it was 100 days until really midway through last week that that Friday was going to be 100 days, and that ended up being the day that Geraldo appeared on the show. So that was kind of interesting. A lot of people have asked me about that. Did I know it was going to be 100 days, and did I set it up that way? No. That was just by luck. Number two, was it set up that Geraldo would appear on Christmas Eve as kind of a Christmas present? No. Here's how it all happened, to tell you the truth. Here's how it all broke down. In the beginning, honestly, I never heard anything. And then back around the week of Thanksgiving, as I came on and told everybody, I had made contact with somebody in Geraldo's inner circle. Now, at that point, I didn't want to say who it was because I wasn't sure if that person would want me to say who it was. Well, as you know, as of Friday, it ended up being Geraldo's wife, Erica. Very nice lady. And she told me, I think it was a few days before Thanksgiving, that he had been very busy, but he was aware of the journal. He was aware of what was going on. And he would be on vacation, Thanksgiving vacation, through November 28th. And then after November 28th, she would talk to him, and we would see what we could do. Well, November 28th kind of came and went, and there were some stories in December that got a lot of attention. Geraldo got into a little bit of a dust-up on Fox News with Hannity when it came to the January 6th memos. So, and he was on the 5 quite a bit in December, and I think he also did some Fox and Friends, and he was still doing his radio show from locations. So December just ended up being a very busy month. So from November 28th through Christmas week, I really didn't hear anything. We really did not have any contact. So I didn't know if anything was going to happen or not. Well, I guess Geraldo ended up going on vacation for Christmas week to Florida. I think he said that on Friday, that he was down in Florida. So he goes on vacation, and I think it must have been last Wednesday. It was just a couple days before he appeared on the show. Last Wednesday, I got a message from Erica, his wife, saying that they were going to be on vacation, but he should be able to call in at some point. Now, it was not set up to be Christmas Eve at that point. A matter of fact, I wasn't sure which day it would be. So I told her last Wednesday, I said, well, we've got one spot open on Friday, or Thursday. I think we had Thursday at 8:15 open, because I think we had a guest Thursday at 9:15. And then I said, well, we have a couple spots open on Friday. I think we had the morning was not open on Friday because we had Sean and Carolyn Heimlich in here. So I said, I think we have 12:15 on Friday. So we have 8:15 on Thursday and 12:15 on Friday. Well, I didn't hear back anything on Wednesday. And then Thursday afternoon, which I had already been on Thursday morning, I got a message from Erica saying Friday at 12:15 looks pretty good. But it wasn't really confirmed. And after 100 days, I was thinking, well, I really don't want to advertise this and have him not show up. And also, it started as a 15-minute interview. In the beginning, it was he could only give 15 minutes. And I said, well, do you think he could stay on a little longer? So we were kind of going back and forth about that as well. So Friday morning came, and I thought, well, I guess we'll see what happens. And if he does not appear at 12:15, well, then we'll just go on with whatever we were doing. But he did call. He was a really good guest, and he stayed on the entire hour on Friday, which brought an end to the Geraldo Journal of 100 days. But what this shows me is that things and people do make a difference. Now, the whole purpose for having the Geraldo Journal, if we go back to September 16th, and I know people got tired of it at points, but the whole purpose was to kind of show everybody how you book an interview. Because any time I ever went out and spoke to a club or spoke to a school, the number one question I would always get is, how do you get these people? And earlier on in the year, when I had Phil Donahue on and when I had Bill Cosby on, when I would talk to the newspapers, they would always say, how do you get these people? And I thought, well, after Bill Cosby, which was in August, I thought, you know, I really don't know how to describe how I get these people. It's a little bit of persistence. It's different in every case. So I thought, well, why don't I try something on the air with somebody who's never been on, who I don't have any connection with, and see how it goes. And Geraldo really fit that bill, because I didn't have any connection with Geraldo. Geraldo had never been on the show, and he was just up in Cleveland, so it was a good person to fit that bill. So basically, what you got to see on the program was how this process goes. Now, sometimes it takes a lot longer than 100 days. Sometimes it's a little shorter. Sometimes it's longer. Sometimes you send a request out there and you don't hear anything back for a long, long time. So I hope maybe it was a little bit of an insight into how you get an interview. And in the end, we got the interview, and it was kind of interesting. Because one thing I learned during this process, most people were very proactive. Most people were sending in letters to the radio station, WTAM. Most people were sending in emails. Most people were calling the station. But I did find out from the people at WTAM, and also through Geraldo, there were some people sending negative letters. But in the end, that kind of helped. Because I guess when they would get a negative letter, they would say, well, people must really be listening to that show in Marion, Ohio. Because, as everybody knows in radio, some people like you, some people don't. And when they were getting letters of both, I guess going both ways, that helped them make a decision to do the show. and they thought that was quite enterprising. But over the process, I think at times people thought Geraldo was never going to come on here. I remember people calling in our audience and saying there's not a snowball's chance in anything that Geraldo is ever going to appear on your show, and I don't think he's ever coming. I remember people talking on other shows on this station because it became a thing. People saying he wasn't going to appear this year and it would take almost a year to get him. I remember when we had Daddy Wags in the studio, he said we would not hear from him this year. We wouldn't hear from him until he needed something. You know, it was kind of interesting to hear people's opinion. And then some people kind of got timid and they didn't want to send letters and they didn't want to call anymore. It was really just something to watch, to be honest. It was a whole process, or process, should I say. But I am glad that we are done with the Geraldo Journal on day 100, and there must be something serendipitous about this whole thing, because number one, it was Christmas Eve. Number two, it did end up being day 100 of the journal, exactly, day 100, which was not planned, and he came on the show. So there you go. So the Geraldo Journal is finished. The last entry, if you were not listening on Christmas morning, came on Friday, December 24th, 2021. And the last entry was, if I can find it here in the journal, of 100 pages, the end. Merry Christmas Eve, the end. So the journal has ended. And that's it for the Geraldo Journal on this station. Now, another interesting thing about this whole Geraldo Journal was, people were very, very kind over the weekend and on the internet about how good they thought the interview was. That's all Geraldo. You know, I just sit and ask the questions. Geraldo was tremendous. I have to say that. He gave a really good interview. He gave opinions on everything. I found him just fascinating. And honestly, I knew the interview was going to go well because I had not talked to Geraldo before the interview. The first time I spoke with him was about a minute before we went on the air. And it was funny because I did the big introduction about how it had been 100 days, and here he is, Geraldo Rivera, and he started off the interview on the air by saying, "Where have you been, Scott? I've been looking for you for 100 days." And we both got a laugh, and I thought that was good. I thought, well, I think we're in okay territory now. So, based on that, does anybody have any questions about that? I just wanted to talk a little bit about that and let everybody know how that all happened. And it puts an end to the Geraldo Journal. Does anybody have any thoughts? Heaven knows we talked about it for a long time on this station. 740-383-9944. Were you surprised that he came on Friday? What do you think of the interview that Geraldo and I did? Did you learn anything? Were you surprised? That's the big one. Were you surprised that he was on Friday morning? Because nobody knew. Nobody in the studio that morning knew. Because I didn't want to tell anybody. Number one, I was afraid somebody might accidentally say it on the air. And number two, I just didn't know for sure if it was going to happen or not. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, interviewer two. Eminent men with marvelous mustaches. That might be your name for the next week. What do you think? Eminent men with marvelous mustaches.
Well, it could be. You never know.
Eminent. I confuse those sometimes. Well, it's imminent that an eminent man with a famous mustache would be on the airwaves. I'm not putting anything past you. So how's the progress with getting the Queen of England on? When is she going to be on? We want to hear that cool accent.
Well, it could come up any time. You never know.
Okay. Are you in talks with the palace?
Yes, me and Buckingham Palace have a lot of close ties.
Nobody has passed you at this point. So the Queen maybe like first quarter of next year?
You never know. You never know. The Queen's not...
Or some other very famous actor or actress on, too. Also, I'm thinking, Betty White, are you going to surprise her on her 100th birthday? Because remember, Hugh Downs called you when you had a milestone birthday. So can you call Betty White? I mean, you called Pat Carroll when she was 90, and Betty's going to be 100. So can we get her on, maybe live in the studio, to celebrate her one century of life?
Well, you know what? I hate to say this because I know people are such a fan of Betty White, but I was doing a little bit of research the other night, and the last time she made a public appearance was in 2018. So she was 96 back then. And my theory on Betty White is she's not doing any public appearances for her birthday. They're just doing a movie. She has not done any phone interviews. Now, I can understand why somebody of that age would not want to come out at this particular time with the pandemic going on, but she has not done a phone interview in 4 years. She has not maybe left her house in about 4 years at this point, because I'm sure the tabloids would be taking pictures. And she was scheduled to do a movie for Lifetime about 2 years ago, and they postponed it a year because of COVID. And then they were supposed to tape it last year, and they canceled the whole movie altogether. So my guess is that Betty White is not doing well. And if you go back and look at that video from 2018 at the Emmy Awards, the last time she appeared in public, she had to be helped onto the stage. Somebody had to walk her out, and she had to hold on to a podium. Nobody that night had a podium except her. She had to be walked away from the podium, and she didn't sound very with it. That if you listen to her speech, which I'm sure was on a teleprompter, she seemingly goes off at points, and she's up there with Alec Baldwin and the lady from SNL, and at one point they even kiss her hand, and I think they're trying to get her away from the microphone because they realize that it's not going very well in front of this live audience. So I understand Betty White is loved by all. I love Betty White. She's been on this show. I met her in Cincinnati. I have a picture with her somewhere.
Who hasn't been on your show?
Right.
And I you met her. Remind me when that happened.
Oh, that would have been like 2002, 2003.
So she was early 80s.
Yeah, and
so
she was great.
She was very gracious. I mean, she's so intelligent. You don't...
Yeah, very, very good. But yeah. people have worked this up in their mind that Betty White is immortal and that Betty White is doing fine. I think the pandemic helped that, because a lot of people have not come out during the pandemic. But you look at somebody like Ed Asner, he was still touring. You know, you look at somebody like, I mean, he was touring a month before he passed away. You look at people who are, yeah, Shecky Green still does radio interviews.
You never had Red Fox on. I think he passed away a little before you got to be such a in thing. But it was similar to him. He was filming the show, remember, and he had fake heart attacks, but he had a real one. And it was a shame. What a talent. I would love to have had him on your show. That would be a great
show. So I guess all I'm saying about Betty White is I don't think we're going to hear anything from Betty White on any show, because my guess is, I mean, she's 100 years old, and age catches up with everybody.
Well, you had the actor Norman Lloyd, wasn't he 107?
I think he was 106, but yeah.
Virginia McLaurin, she was over 100. She sounded great. Boy, she was one of the peppiest guests you've ever had.
Well, some people just... I think some people just age better than others, and I think that... you know, time takes its toll, unfortunately.
Well, I wish Betty well. I mean, if she's listening, to send her out wishes. I mean, I love Betty White. And, I mean, who doesn't? How could you not love Betty White?
Well, that's true.
I mean, she's like Rose Nyland in some way. She's an animal lover. She's just a sweet person, just much, much more intelligent. I mean, she's to game shows. Certainly someone who will go down in American pop culture permanently. And I hope she does. She's doing well, and we'd love to see her. Love to see her act again. So
I wouldn't hold my breath on that one.
I do want to let people know. Just don't get upset. The updated sports report has been installed and will be airing in about 28 minutes.
What happened there?
Not sure, but we have a sports report coming, and it's going to be one of the best ever. It's actually a little shorter than I believe the previous one. And, yeah, we like to educate people about climatology. So, you know, the weather forecast, which was, by the way, a minute and 20 seconds. And it certainly is detailed. It gives information. And, you know, anything done by a certain member of the staff always has a bit of humor in it. So that was injected in this forecast like it always is. So, yeah, humor and math are two things that are a favorite of the person who does the weather. So that's kind of what he told me.
Here's all I'm going to say with
the climatology segment of the top of the hour features.
Well, here's all I'm going to say about Betty White, because I do like Betty White, and I also like Bob Hope quite a bit. But I think about the last 5 years, and Bob Hope lived to be 100. I think about the last 5 years of Bob Hope's life, we did not see him at all. He just did not do appearances anymore. And he did live to 100, but I think he died 2 months later.
And George Burns, I remember, there was supposed to be some big 100th birthday party, but they canceled it because he was ill, and then he had passed away right after that.
Another
favorite.
I think when these, 100 is a ripe old age, and I think that people hang on for that. But I think after 100, what can you do?
Betty White, what a legend, and it's nice that you got a chance to talk to her. She was in her early 80s.
Yeah,
and
she was a nice guest.
Regular cast member of the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
So, we send her out good wishes across the miles, and want to update people that the sports report has been updated. Any thoughts on the passing of John Madden? Another person.
Well, I thought that was interesting.
Person in sports history.
Well, I thought it would get more attention than it did. Maybe it's because it's the week between Christmas and New Year's. I mean, I know a lot of shows are reporting on it this morning, but he was such a gigantic figure he was a good coach, but people don't remember him coaching. They remember him for his broadcasting career. And I was watching something last night, and it was kind of interesting about how a whole generation still gets these all-Madden video games, and how most people don't even realize that that was a real person now, because he's been so long out of the public spotlight. And I thought it was interesting that his passing did not get a huge amount of attention. It got a fair amount, but not quite, for as big as a star as he was, and for as long as he was around, I really thought it would get a lot more attention than that. But John Madden was he was really, to me, football's first color man. That he did not get up there and try to do play-by-play. He let Pat Summerall do play-by-play, and John Madden, whether it was intended or not, he got up there and just tried to be... He was entertaining. I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but he would stumble over his words, and sometimes his ties would be crooked, and he got excited. He would call people out during the game. I mean, I think he was a real revolutionary figure in the world of football, certainly, and should be remembered well.
Also, in terms of upcoming guests, people have asked me about getting Donald on, not the fake Donald. Better than the real Donald. Can you get the real Donald on?
Well, you never know. I don't know.
He has that attractive younger wife, just like Geraldo. So can you speak to his attractive younger wife? I'd like to have her on, because her accent, I love her accent. So maybe get both of them on sometime. I don't see why not. I mean, you've had people that have run for president and done very well, like John Anderson. So can you try to get Donald on for us? That would be good.
Well, there's always somebody I'm working on, but, from now on, the Geraldo Journal was a unique thing. I'm always working on somebody, but I probably will never keep people updated like that again to that degree as I did. We'll see. Requests still go out. Sometimes they go out and we never hear from them again.
Right. I'm thinking Mike Pence. Now, you can kind of trick him because... As you probably know, Indianapolis, where he has been between the Capitol, I believe he was the mayor, that's in Marion County, Indiana. Just tell him you're in Marion County. Don't tell him which Marion County, and that someone will pick him up. I'll be happy to pick him up. It's a pretty easy drive.
Adam, I don't think you're picking...
Just tell him Marion County. Just don't tell him which Marion County.
You know, culture. I don't think you picking anybody up has ever added to the pot.
Well, Thunderbolt.
Well, I think he needed picked up. I think he had a fun ride.
Back to Hebron, Kentucky. I mean, that was it was fun. He's such an interesting character. I mean, he's just great for carpool karaoke and all that good stuff.
Well, that's good.
He's such a interesting person, to put it mildly. But okay, well, so yeah, Geraldo kind of said he would do a live interview. So hopefully.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you got to put a little space in between the interviews. But, yeah, I think he'll do it. I don't have any reason to believe that he would.
Yeah, it was just, were you surprised kind of how gentlemanly and calm he, I mean, you were saying he was nuts. I mean, you were, and you were playing that clip, I mean, where he was going off on that person. He was so calm, cool, and collected. Were you kind of surprised that he was like that? Or were you expecting someone to be very intense?
No, because it was a different kind of interview. You know, I asked him questions that were fair and that he could answer, and I didn't accuse him of anything. And now, as far as Geraldo being a fighter, or I mean, all you have to do is look at that January 6th fight he got in with Hannity, and apparently they have not talked since. So, I mean, yes, he is nuts in a way, and he is entertaining in a way, and he even said during the interview he gets very animated and he doesn't mind giving his opinion anymore, maybe something he would not have done 30 years ago. But it's all how you interview somebody. Can ask somebody tough questions, but you have to know how to do it.
Yeah, you remember that when Bench and Brenneman used to be on WLW, that's the time Johnny Bench hung up on Marty Brenneman. That's been kind of a famous interview. So sometimes you just don't know who's going to be intense, who will be really calm. And you could tell it was Geraldo, but just the demeanor was so different. So.
Well, I think it's because it was fair questions. I don't think anything was below-the-belt question.
You just talked about the career, how he would be remembered. It was excellent, certainly. I've had many people relay compliments. And all I could say is good work. And I'm looking forward to hearing Her Majesty on the air with you, and maybe some superstar like Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks, someone like that.
Well,
that
maybe we could get the Queen on your show, because, you know, not that I don't like some of the guests you have on, but we've heard, I definitely get the point of view of some of these people, because I've heard it many times.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, Lucas Wall is a person with good opinions.
You know, I was listening to that interview yesterday. And I guess I'd never listened to it as close as I did yesterday. And what I don't understand about that particular case that he's involved in is that people sue the government all the time. People sue the IRS, people sue the FCC, people sue the government, and I don't really understand. It's clear to me that this is not going to last forever, the pandemic. So if the pandemic's over and his case is to get mask wearing taken away from certain areas, if the pandemic's over, what difference will it make at that point?
Well, we shall see. I mean, this has been going on for almost 2 years.
Right, that's what I say. I don't think it's ever going to hit any court before the mask. And here's the. And I would like you to ask him this next time he's on, because he keeps saying this, and I don't understand it. Mask wearing is not mandated in certainly Ohio and most of the country right now. So if it's not mandated, then what's his case? Who's mandating
it? Mandated on airplanes.
Okay. But airplanes are private companies.
And he's a frequent flyer, someone who travels and shares his experiences with the viewers of his blog.
Right, but what I'm saying is airplanes are private companies. So, I mean, I get, what's the difference between a grocery store saying you have to wear a... What's the difference between a grocery store saying you have to wear a mask and an airline saying it?
He's suing airlines also. It's a separate lawsuit. And there have been issues where there have been violence between flight attendants and passengers.
I don't know. It was just, it's kind of confusing for me.
What I asked him too is like, well, if a private business in a area not requiring masks makes you wear one, I've changed my opinion. It's become stronger. It's like a dress code. It's like a restaurant saying you must wear a tie. Not the same thing. because restaurants have required ties or had other dress code, dress restrictions, dress code rules for a long time. With a mask, they're giving medical advice when they're not qualified. Overwhelming evidence shows that that is not a good idea in any way. It's a security risk, and it's a blatant ADA violation. So I've changed my opinion. It's not a dress code. It is illegal.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about opinions on this. What I'm talking about is I just get confused when I hear him sometimes because yesterday, I was pulling into the gas station and he was saying something, and I know I'd heard this interview before, and he kind of repeats himself, and he was saying something about, it's clear that masks don't work because look at the new variant of COVID and how many people are sick. But there are no mask mandates in the general public. A matter of fact, very few places are mask mandates even enforced. They've never been enforced by law enforcement. So when he says that, I get confused because who's mandating that you wear a mask in public? Who's mandating that you wear a mask at the grocery store? Who's doing that?
Well, if you'd like to have him on your show again, I'm sure...
No. We went through that, and I never got a good, sufficient answer, but he keeps repeating that, and I'm confused on why he keeps repeating that, because it's as if everybody's wearing a mask, so how are we getting sick? Everybody's not wearing a mask. Anybody who went out during the holiday season saw about 80% of the people were not wearing masks. So I don't get what he's saying.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a multifaceted, slippery slope, but
we'll see.
From my social media and my occasional on-air comments, people know where I stand. And we invite all opinions. I respect all opinions, regardless of whether or not they're consistent with mine. Everybody agreed the world would be awfully boring, wouldn't it?
I did think it was interesting that he said he got the booster. I had not heard that before. That was an interesting bit of information.
Right. It's multifaceted, and there are multiple mitigation methodologies. You know how much I like alliterations.
So oh, no.
It certainly is, I would say, in my lifetime, which, of course, is a rather long lifetime, it's the biggest issue, most controversial, and will be for a while. And everybody has an opinion, and that's great, because free speech is so important. That's the foundation of our country. So that's about the best way to sum it up without me going on an hour-long spiel.
My point on this whole thing is I just think that this has become... I guess what I'm confused about is when we live in Ohio, so I have to look at Ohio at this point. When the mandates were lifted back in June, May, whenever it was, when they were lifted, I'm kind of confused on what people are arguing, because the government has not imposed anything in Ohio. Matter of fact, they lifted them all, and they have not put them back into place. Matter of fact, I'm sure the legislature would not allow that at this point. I think we're running a story on the news this morning.
Right.
On
well,
that.
There apparently is a hole in that law, because Columbus, Worthington, Whitehall, and Bexley have one, but I can assure you, and you probably saw my social media post, which has gotten quite a lot of attention, which is good. That was the idea. That's the only place I can count that has ejected me due to my bare face. And I hate to say this because it's a nonpartisan issue. I'm nonpartisan. And in fact, I consider myself more of a liberal. But in the more democratic parts of the city, that's where you're more likely to see a mask being required or certainly requested in a strong fashion. A couple times I've said exemption, and it's been okay. I don't do anything other than provide a verbal objection. I'm not a violent person by any means. So, I'll give the business a chance to acknowledge and accept my exemption, which I say intellectual, religious, and medical grounds. And usually that's fine, as certainly my business is important to them, and I support local businesses, and I enjoy spending my money at them. But certainly in some areas, nobody wears them. And you see the signs, you know, like I can think of some drinking establishments I've been to. They have the sign, and sometimes the bartenders are wearing them, sometimes they're not. But the customers aren't. even people that I know, Scott, are very pro-mask or not wearing them. It is a fascinating study. And again, you could get a, I think we all deserve honorary PhDs in sociology for going through this and assessing the situation. I guess, kind of ironically, it's helped me and my people skills and my ability to assess personalities, because that isn't traditionally a strong point. So I guess we can look at the glass as being half full, Scott, and assess how it's helping us learn about human nature. And let's hope we learn from it. But, you know, in my many decades of life, I've never seen anything like this before. I never thought I ever would. I wish my parents were alive so they could provide their opinions. I'd be very fascinated about what my dad would think about this. But either way, we go forward with life. And let's hope it's a learning experience. And I wish everybody great health. That's I can say. You know, look at the glass as being half full. That's always a good thing.
We'll see what happens. Well, thanks, Adam.
Okay, well, thanks for taking the call, Scott. And I'm glad that I have confirmed my status as the official windpipe of WWE.
The windpipe, yes. The windpipe has been on and off. Thanks, Adam.
Yep.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Really didn't want to get into a conversation there about mask wearing, but, you know, it's still an interesting topic. And glad to hear that the sports report will be updated every hour now. And not sure what happened there. A little technical difficulty, but I'm sure it'll be worked out and has been worked out as we head into the next hour. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to the Geraldo interview? That's where that all started. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Love to hear your thoughts on that long, long process of getting Geraldo on the show. And I do thank everybody who sent very, very nice emails and made social media posts and called the station, and people who I saw in public who just said they thought it was a really, really nice, good interview. And at the end of 100 days, I'm very glad that's what came of it. So we're going to break, come back with more of you on the toll-free line in about 15 minutes. Well, hold on. Let's take this call here, and then we will go. Well, you know what? We're going to take the call, and then we'll come back at a quarter after the hour. So caller, call back at a quarter after.
No, not much private, but I'm a publicity... So I...